Blog Talk Radio.
As they say in New Orleans, bonjour, y'all. This is the Mud Toe at Midnight program. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. You can get in touch with me at Mud Toe Sasquatch, MUDTOESASQUATCH.com, or you can leave me a message on my blog. That is a moderated blog, so please give me some indication that you are a real live human being, like referring to something that's in the post instead of just saying, your blog was wonderful, and now post about my blog. You know what I mean. You can also email me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. I've got a Twitter account, but I often forget about it because I don't have very many followers just yet. So follow me on Twitter anyway, and then maybe I'll pay more attention to it. Follow mudtoesasquatch if you find it. There's also a Facebook page, mudtoesasquatch, and that's actually three words. The other one is all run together. You are listening to the With Insights channel of blogtalkradio.com. And you can hear some other shows on this channel on Mondays at 6. Iggy and Rosa do intuitive readings. On Tuesdays at 7, it's Journey Seek and the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. And Wednesdays at 2 p.m. is Heather Tapia and the Entrepreneurial Excellence Show. And then Fridays at midnight, it's just me, Mud Toe Sasquatch, here on Mud Toe Midnight. Thank you for joining me, and I have a compulsive need to thank you for joining me, so I'll probably do it at least a dozen times during the show, most of them clustered towards the beginning and the end, so just to warn you about that. Also, one more piece of business. You can probably hear my old air conditioner running in the background. For your convenience and ease of listening, I'm going to see if I can shut this thing off and do without it for the remaining 28 minutes or whatever is left of the program, so that you don't have to put up with that humming in the background. Actually, I don't know if you can even hear it, because since I don't have internet at home anymore, there's not a convenient way for me to check the show archive. I don't even know if my shows have been going out, but I will figure that out. I think I just have to take headphones to the computer lab or something, although my two favorite computer labs are going to be shut down now, but that's something to talk about later. Here, let's see if I can get over here. I'm also a little lame tonight. I'm going to shut this down and see how long I can survive in this hot box. Not that bad. It did get a little bit warm today here in my large city in the Midwest, which is Columbus, Ohio, if you haven't heard me say it before. I guess we've got a big day coming up tomorrow and, a big weekend coming up here in Columbus, Ohio. Since I don't have internet at home, I can't check that, so I have to see if I'm saying it right. But I think it's American Girl. I'm not quite sure if that's right or not, but I'd never heard of it before. But evidently they're a line of dolls and books and magazines and whatnot. And there's also American Girl stores now. And the third one ever in our country is opening up right here in Columbus tomorrow. And I have heard tell that there is not a hotel room to be had here in the city from people coming in to shop at this store tomorrow. And the store happens to be located at the very shopping mall where my daughter works. So I'm asking for some positive energy to be sent out to her so that my daughter doesn't get run over by the people who are coming to shop at American Girl. So if you can do that for me, if you feel so moved, yeah, don't feel you have to. Don't have someone to be like an emotional blackmail or anything. You have to do it just because I ask you. If you feel something, please do send some positive thoughts, positive energy to my daughter as she tries to negotiate her way through the American Girl Maniacs tomorrow and Sunday. So, it is Friday night, Saturday morning, depending on how you reckon it. But of course, where you are in the world. It is summer solstice, longest night of the year, and that's because who remembers from junior high school science or elementary school science now probably, it's because our planet right now is pointed, the northern half of our planet rather, is pointed directly towards the sun. And we have the most sunshine we're going to get in a 24-hour period. Because our Earth is tilted, that's why we have these seasons. These very seasons that the ancients depended on for their guidance in growing food and raising their livestock really guided their lives and gave them the foundation for their beliefs in a supreme being, something that's kept these cycles going faithfully year after year without fail. I know a number of my friends are at various ceremonies. We happen to have a number of well-preserved Native American mounds in the area. One in particular is the Serpent Mound, which is down, I believe, in Ada, Ohio. It's not Ada. Where is it? Anyway, it's down in southern Ohio. A very meticulously created mound in the shape of a snake, as you might imagine, which is named the Serpent Mound. And it has it's one of those ancient constructions that has many astronomical, not astrological, although it probably has those too, but the astronomical, the science-y thing about where it lines up with the sun on certain days of the year and lines up with the moon on other days of the year and whatnot. So many of my friends are out at the Serpent Mound this evening celebrating that and celebrating our connection to the Earth that is manifested in these regular cycles that allow us to engineer our lives as intelligent human beings, you know, without the signs of nature, we wouldn't have a clue as to what to do to nature, which is pretty much what we try to do. But I think it will be better when we do it with nature to produce the things that we need, the food and the shelter and that we need. So I'm not sure, do we thank the summer solstice? We thank somebody. I'm not quite sure, but it's summer solstice and glad for that. One element of it I wasn't quite, well, actually, what it did, it kind of helped me out tonight, but I'll get to that in a minute. Right now, I am flat on my back in my room. I have done something to my back. I'm not quite sure. It probably had to do with being at work time, doing a lot of bending that I probably shouldn't have been doing. I really didn't have any choice. And so I came, I got home, started preparing for the show, found a handful of Tylenol, and I'm waiting for the back to stop hurting. So if I ouch occasionally during the show, you'll know that's what it's about. Also, I have nearby, I didn't have time to make the preparation before I had to go on the air. I'm definitely going to do this after I get off of the air here at 12:30. I have some essential oils from Young Living, which I've talked about on the show before, and I have some Panaway and some purification oil. And when I get some back pain, what I usually do is I get some mineral oil so that I can cut it down, because you don't want to put either of these oils on your skin. They're very strong, they're very concentrated, especially if you have sensitive skin, that'll break out in any way. I have a medicine cup, like it was, it used to be on a bottle of puff syrup, those kind of medicine cups you get to measure out your dose so that you don't have to use a spoon. And I just cover the bottom of that with some mineral oil, and then I put 5 drops of Panaway and 1 drop of purification, mix it together. And then I apply a little bit of that to what area is hurting. It's like a muscular ache, because my back, I'm pretty sure anyway, is a matter of muscular ache and not some sort of larger problem. So I just apply it to the area of the muscular ache, and it really does wonders. So I am definitely going to do that as soon as I'm off the air. If you have any sort of questions about Young Living, you can get in touch with me in one of the ways that I described earlier. Or you can get on a computer and find a Young Living distributor in your area. Or you can become a Young Living distributor. It's fairly easy to do. You just you join the circle of one of the Young Living distributors in your area, and they give you all the information that you need. So, end of that commercial. I do believe in that product very strongly. It helps me out a lot. And I don't know near as much about it as a lot of the dealers do. So they can certainly help you out if I can. So anyway, about my day and my week. I was home earlier in the week. I'm at my parents' house. I'm still thinking that I was home. I don't want to think of that as home. I don't want to move back with my parents. I want to be here in the big city, but then I always stay home when I prefer it's not. Anyway, I was there for a couple of days, and I had planned that trip for a while, and I just started last Friday, and I remember on the show being rather enthusiastic about this. A temporary service had interviewed me. They do some placement of standardized patients. That's the kind of work that I do at the university hospital. This is part-time work. But there are a couple of other hospitals not connected to the university. We're also starting to use standardized patients, which is just, I'm given a series of symptoms to sort of mime, to pretend to have, and then medical students come and interview me and they try to diagnose me. The idea is this is training for the medical students before they're set loose on real people. And I like being of service in whatever work that I try to do, so it's a good gig for me. So it was temporary service, so the placement was up at these other hospitals, so I had an interview with them last Friday, a week ago, and I thought it went pretty well. I had a couple of things to say about them. It's a younger generation kind of thing, so I knew I was going to have to temper my speech and my emotions if I was going to work successfully in that environment, and I think I may have messed that up. I think it only took me a week, and I may have messed that up. I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see. See how it shakes out. But I went today, actually I had to do a TB test because I'm working directly in a hospital. They want you to have a TB test. I don't have to do it for the university because I'm not working in the hospital. I work in the medical school, which is in a separate building. But for this new thing, I would be working directly in the hospital. Anybody who works in the hospital has to have a TB test every year. By TB, I mean tuberculosis. And it's a bad thing that happens in your lungs. And anyway, I have to have this test. Actually, I have to have the test done twice. That's how serious they are about it. There's that, and actually, well, I hesitate to report this other part to you, but I probably should. There's been a lot of, I guess there's been more, this is hearsay. I don't have personal knowledge of it. There's been more emphasis lately on tuberculosis testing and detection because ours is one of the cities in the country that has a sizable population of Somali refugees. And evidently these Somali refugees are bringing tuberculosis over from Somalia. And this isn't getting much publicity because people don't want people freaking out and saying, you know, burn the Somalis or, you know, don't let the Somalis come in, you know, using that as an excuse for hate action, but want a better word, against Somali people. So maybe I didn't have to. I don't know why. For some reason, I felt compelled to share that part of it with you. But there is an increased emphasis on tuberculosis detection for that reason. And then plus, I'm going to be in a hospital working with people. So I'm working near people. I wouldn't be working with patients, but I would be in the same building where they are. So I got to get this tuberculosis test, and I really don't know what to expect because I don't think I've had a TB test since I was a kid. And what I remember is a device that looks kind of like a rubber stamp but with needles on it, and they hit you in on the inner arm with these needles, and then you came back at some point and they looked at it and told you whether you had TB or not. Well, the modern test is similar. It was just one needle, not a bunch of needles. And they make a bubble underneath your skin of this serum. The idea is, I guess, that it's got tuberculosis antibodies in it. And if your body reacts to that, you start to get blisters and raised red spots or whatever it is around that bubble or on top of that bubble, then you've got tuberculosis. And they stick you in a dark place forever. So I went to get this tuberculosis test, and it wasn't horrible in any way. It's just a quick stick, and the guy who did it was very good. And now I have to go back on Monday to have it read. Now, while I was out, I had also planned, I had to get tax information to these people at the TIP agency. So So I was out in the car, you know, to get my TB test. I figured I would just drive over to the dead thing to see it drop off. I had that, this for my I-9, that a document that you fill out to prove that you're either a citizen or that you have permission to work in the United States. And the whole I-9 thing was basically made up to try and catch people who hire illegal aliens. But anyway, I have to, everybody has to prove now that they are fit to work in the United States. So you can use, they have two different lists of documents, and actually there's one, a passport, I think there's two. A passport is one of them that works for both purposes. I think one purpose is to identify, and one establishes that you're eligible to work in the United States. And a passport does both because you have to show both of those things to get a passport, I think. I don't know. I don't think I've stated that right. But anyway, I took my passport, and so they took a Xerox of that, and I had to fill out some paperwork. And then they gave me this card with some, like, they had some questions on it, and they asked if I could say yes to any of these questions. And most of it was about military service. A little bit of it was about you know, Social Security or veterans payments that I might be getting. And then one was about food stamps. They asked if I was getting food stamps. And I am. I didn't think that was any of their damn business. And I didn't know. I wondered why they wanted to know. Now, but at the same time, I don't want to jeopardize this job. I mean, I've never been asked questions like that in a job setting from an employer. Why are they even asking me those questions? But I was reluctant to say to my new temp employer, oh, why are you asking this damn question? So I just went to the girl who was administering my test, and I said, I have I get food stamps. And she said, we're going to have to fill this out. And she sent me out, she sent me up in front of a laptop and gave me one of these electronic forms, which are just loads of fun to fill out, especially when you're a little bit agitated. So I gritted my teeth, filled that out, and I just felt, I couldn't let it go. I mean, I felt like I should let it go because, again, these are people who are going to try and help me get a job. I don't want to mess up that relationship before you even get started. But I felt like I needed to say something. So when I got, my next stop was the campus so I could check my email and so forth. When I got to the campus, I wrote an email to my recruiter at the temp agency. And I said, look, I was asked, when I was doing my tax forms, I was asked to, if I was receiving food stamps. And I didn't think that was appropriate. And I was wondering if you could enlighten me as to why you need to know that. And I got kind of a terse reply. That's just silly that you're asking that question. You could have just asked her, was basically, but you could just ask the person at the desk. Well, I don't really think I could have. I mean, she's got that position of employer, she's got that position of authority, and while under other circumstances I might certainly thumb my nose at that, in this case I'm trying to get a job. So no, I didn't feel comfortable asking or refusing to ask. I think what she said was, if you hadn't wanted to ask the question, all you had to do was tell the clerk and she would have told you it was voluntary. Well, I think they should have told me it was voluntary, and they should have told me it was voluntary before they asked the question. Now, what I'm thinking is, because she still didn't really tell me why. I mean, she told me what government form it was for, but that doesn't really tell me why. I mean, why do they need to be filling out this government form? And my feeling is that they are participating in some sort of program to gather information on something, and presumably having to do with people who apply to temp services. And they're deriving some benefit from that. Otherwise, I have to assume they're deriving some benefit from that. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So they want people to answer the questions. But they're concerned that if people don't know, or if people know that they don't have to answer the questions, they're not going to. So you just put it out there, and because they know people are just going to assume, I mean, this is part of completing a job interview, basically, that most people are just going to go ahead and do it and not even ask. Why would you ask? Why would that occur to you to ask? It didn't occur to me to ask if it was voluntary. Why would that occur to me? So I've been agitated about that most of the day. And that's one thing that I'm working on, is being able to release those things that happened, because I'm quite sure she hadn't thought about it at all since then. And whenever I become agitated with someone, or someone has become, because someone has become agitated with me, I just know that I harbor that. Harbor that isn't the right word. It bothers me. It continues to bother me for long, long, long after the other person has forgotten about it. And that's something that's a serious drag on my serenity. So it's something that I'm working on. So that was this morning. Now, this evening, I was in for another performance at the theater, which I wasn't expecting to have to do, but my counterpart was out of town unexpectedly, and certainly I don't mind giving it $50, $44 after taxes. So I went to do the show. Now, this is the one that's very heavy on sound effect, especially in the very last act. So it's very busy, and the people on stage are depending on me to get the sound effects right in the right places. There's one place particularly, right at the end, where one of the actors has the line, Justin Bieber, and then I have to immediately start some Justin Bieber music. And you know, if I don't start the music, then there's no joke. So it's very important that I have the sound effects in the right places. Well, tonight I got to the theater, and usually in our little booth there is a little lamp. And I noticed the little lamp wasn't there, so I asked my boss, where's the lamp? And he said, oh, the bulb burnt out, so we don't have a lamp back there tonight. And this is not good because, let me describe the booth. I say booth, but we're really, it's a space that's walled off a little divider. It's about chest high. And then behind the divider is all the sound and light equipment. And it's arranged in no rational order. And I know I can say with confidence it's not rational, because the CD player where the sound effects live are at the very bottom of the stack. And one of the consequences of that, besides my bending down and messing with my back, is that no light gets down there. That's why we have to, for this, at least for the purpose of this show, that's one of the most important things that lamp is all about. That we shine the lamp down on the CD player and then see the buttons, so we can start the CD player right when it's supposed to start, or if something gets messed up, we can fix it in relatively short order. Well, I didn't have that tonight. Now, it helped, as I mentioned before, that today is summer solstice, and it's the longest day of the year, and we don't have very big curtains in this theater of ours, so I had enough daylight to get me through the first three acts. But the fourth act, that is so heavy on all sound effects, is the one where it was dark and I could not see the CD player. So I was just going on faith. And at the beginning of the act, I did pretty well. It was pretty much blind luck. I mean, blind literally. I had my fingers on the buttons and I was counting over. I think this is the fourth button I need to press. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, then in the latter part of the act, things got messed up. And in particular, the Justin Bieber line, I mentioned that the Justin Bieber music didn't happen. And a different music came. First, there was no music, then there was different music. And finally, I got back to the original music that was supposed to be playing. And, oh, it was just, of course, I could have been explaining that to everybody, including my boss. He took it pretty well. He's one who tends to be fairly high-strung. But he accepted my explanation of the lamp and said that he would get a different one, make sure that we got a different one for next week. They have either the old lamp or the new bulb or a different lamp to make sure that we could actually see the CD player. And you can tell, this is kind of tells you how primitive this equipment is too, that we're actually using a CD player and not a computerized system to play sound effects. One thing we have noticed when we try to use a computer for things is that we also have a wireless mic, and it messes with the wireless mic when we have a computer on. Not just when we have a computer on, it seems to be when the computer tries to get in touch with the internet. So we need to disable the internet, but then nobody wants to do that because you can never remember how to re-enable it. So that was a lot of explanation for a very small sort of problem. But I think I handled it fairly well. You know, there was a time when I just would have been a straight Walton. Just 4 weeks ago, I had a bad day at work, and I went out and blew up 3 years of sobriety. It was the same show. And, you know, I could very easily have gone off the rails like that tonight, but I didn't. I feel like I handled it a lot better. Maybe I've learned something. Maybe I've matured a little bit over these past 4 weeks. Maybe just that experience falling off the wagon has proven to me that I can fall off the wagon and that I need to be even more vigilant about my sobriety than I have been. So these are lessons learned, and build them into my life and make things better. And things at the theater will get you to get better. This is the biggest crowd we've had yet for the show. That's one of the things that's been bothering me and everybody out there is, you know, the original show, the audiences that are starting to dwindle, and we've been having trouble getting the new shows open instead of having a lot of people coming up. This is a bad time of the year for it. You know, everybody's getting into their summer stuff, and the theater isn't even doing quite so well. So hopefully tonight's success means that things will start to pick up, and we will have larger and more enthusiastic audiences, and I will have a light so that I can get the sound effects in my best. So just continue with positive thoughts that is going to happen. What else should we talk about? I think we've got, four more minutes or so. My granddaughter's birthday is coming up. She will be 3 years old. I have not seen her for a while, which is odd because they live here in town. I could see her pretty much any time I wanted to. I haven't seen her since my brother was in town a few months back and we all got together for dinner. I see lots of pictures of her, of course. My daughter posts them. She's very cute. She's my teacher, as I have said many times. She's very brave. She has physical challenges, and she doesn't care. She doesn't know at all that she has physical challenges. She just plows right on through. So 3 years old. I mean, it doesn't hardly seems possible. Time, you know, the older I get, the faster time moves. There's something Einsteinian about that, I think. I was. You know, kids, they don't care what you get them. For kids that age, they don't care what you get them as a birthday present. I mean, they don't even know. They get presents all the time. The birthday presents don't make an impression on them, I don't think. But I got her, I like to get her picture books. Pictures with words. I don't think this is her birthday. I think it's for Christmas. I got her Where the Wild Things Are. Of course, it's way beyond her, you know, as far as reading right now, but it's got good pictures in it. And I'm hoping that her to learn to read, and then that will, you know, be something that kind of folds into her reading process. So I got another book for her now that is pictures of our city with some text, so some child text to it. So I'm hoping that will make a big impression to her. She knows, you know, whenever you come, especially with a book, when you approach her with a book, she knows it's for her. She just sticks her hands out. So, here, that book's for me. So I'm still with granddaughter as far as the birthday presents are concerned. We'll see how long that holds out. Now we're inside of the minute, so it just remains for me to thank you once again for listening to the show. Please tune in again next week, and please leave your messages as to things you might like me to talk about other than my screwy day or my screwy week. And that's all I got to say. Tune in next week.